What's up, everyone? My name's Chris Marshall with my boy, Frank G. We are the hosts of Build Your Empire podcast. Frank G, tell the people what we do.
What's going on, everybody? Chris and I, we discuss established empires while showcasing us building ours.
So, Frank, last episode we had was our highest performing debuted episode. It's still racking in streams. Pretty awesome. Shout out, Bethany. But it made me think on a few things.
What's that? About releasing at a different time and whatnot?
Of course. I mean, that's always stuff to play with. What times gets best views. But it just made me think that all these people listen to us, but not many of them probably know what we do or what we would define our skill set as.
Yeah, it hasn't been spoken about in probably a while as well from a show standpoint. If you've been rocking since episode 2, probably 3, maybe you do know what we do.
And it's crazy that some people don't know what we do, but maybe that's a lack of our communication on explaining that. And we are elite salesmen. At least I would say I am. I don't know about you. I'm confident to say I am, though.
Well, I'd say anyone that doesn't say they're confident or elite, I guess, is already losing the battle of sales right there.
Well, you know how they say the proverb that it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that is the only thing that I potentially have given 10,000 hours to, where I can actually definitively declare myself an expert in this particular field.
Yeah, I would say many tasks that it takes a lot to give 10,000 hours. So the only other thing other than that, since that's our careers, is I could think of language. That's why we talk on a podcast. We're professionals at speaking because that's the only other thing we've done. Probably double that.
Which goes into sales. Now, it's even more crazy that one, people who listen to us or consume our content in any facet don't know us enough to even know what we do and how we get paid and make good money, is that, bro, everything is sales.
Well, yeah, everything is technically like a psychological aspect to everything. I mean, you can always kind of get what you want out of certain situations, or at least put in the effort to kind of make things go your way.
Now, I mean, you know, I kind of was saying we're going to teach sales in this episode, and to teach sales is so difficult within the time frame that we have, and really just having a discussion of sales. But the importance of having a valuable skill to leverage, to use, to make money is, I don't think people, it's underestimated with majority of people.
As in most people don't pick something and get.
They don't pick a skill, whether it's graphic design, photography, videography, whether it's editing, audio editing, producing, sales. Like, they don't pick a skill that they can constantly refine to then profit off of later on.
Yeah, I guess unless the people that pick a major in school and they stick with it.
Which would be kind of like us, like a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Nurse, something like that.
Now, I mean, you know, I told you right before we got on here, you're going on and off. You all right there?
Yeah, I was just fixing my video for those who listen on YouTube. Check us out.
Well, if you are listening on YouTube, right before the show, me and Frank were saying how, you know, I have a long beard and I could grow a mustache like the Monopoly man. And Frank told me to not do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a look that I see prospering in your life.
Well, I can see with it being the roaring 20s that look could really go far. Let me tell you, I could, like, you know, kind of twist my stash. Shout out to Butchie. I could, you know, twist my stash and I think I could potentially make it work.
Certainly seems like a lot of upkeep. I don't know what kind of gel you got to put in that thing, but
I don't know. And it seems like I'm going to have to sell women on that. It's a good look.
I don't know. My barber, you know, one of the best out there, good looking man. He had it for like a month and his wife did not stop telling him to shave that shit.
That is hilarious that we are doing a show about sales and we're talking about mustaches and wives. And that makes sense that the wife would tell him to shave his stash.
Why? Because it's not attractive.
Yeah, but I bet you that wife can easily get him to shave that stash.
Yeah, well, he finally did after like a month.
that makes sense. No man can wait more than a month.
I guess that's a sale right there for the woman.
I mean, everything is a sale. I really cannot think what's not a sale. Like a good looking guy who is a complete moron, I guarantee you, uses the same pitch and the same approach to women with every single woman he gets, or majority of.
Well, then he's strictly by the book. I'll give him credit. He follows a structure, and he probably is more successful than others.
Probably. And he certainly maybe knows rejection, because I sure as hell do.
We all get rejected, though, especially as salespeople.
I just got DM'd the other day to go on a show, which I did. Shout out to the UK. And again, the pitch was exactly how I DM people to try and get guests on our show. And it's a pitch. You provide value, you compliment, and then you ask for a request. And people can't do this. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I guess like a skill. Not everybody looks at it as like these steps to take. So people are kind of like scared off the jump. And then they never learn because they're afraid or they're not confident. I mean, you learn from all the mistakes and all the experiences.
Well, let's take you right now. My man Frank, looking good. Dark hair. You'll probably get a nice little Monopoly stash on and pull it off. And next thing you know, all the ladies wants my boy.
All right. That's a nice vision right here.
My man Frank G in Ferragamo has a client walk in. Do you have clients that walk in that typically spend 10, 20 grand on you know, one buying purchase?
In like one shot, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
I would say, I mean, yes, of course we do. I do, but I wouldn't say it's the most common, clearly.
So that's another thing I learning that when people deal with larger numbers or they're trying to sell or get a higher ask, you know, their voice shakes, their body language trembles a bit. So it's very funny. I was talking to someone who wants me to sell a $3,000 product for him. And I'm just doing it just to sell an extra thing because I love selling shit. And, you know, I said, why don't we upraise this $6,000 instead of $3,000? And he's like, you can do that. Sure. Of course. Why not ask for $6,000 and then downgrade and give myself some playing room and some points?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that half of those people aren't confident in the price itself, which means they don't believe in whatever it is they're offering.
Which makes sense, right? If you're not believing in it, you can't confidently speak about it or try and sell it. And confidence is literally how to sell. But also, I think being honest, transparent, and extremely kind is extremely underrated in selling.
Yeah. I mean, being memorable as well. Storytelling. Storytelling is a great way to build trust anyway, you know.
Storytelling is a great way to build E-Link, which is that emotional connection. You could build fear. You could build nostalgia. You could build love, connection. I don't use much storytelling in my line of sales.
Well, I mean, in mine, I would use, let's say, a success story of another client maybe. Or like someone that just walked in and needed shoes or something the exact same reason this person does. And then you tell them how happy they were, or even someone that's had the pair of shoes for 10 years, they're way more likely inclined to buy it from knowing someone else's success with that.
I get it. I get exactly how you're using it, but are you using that strategy to also paint a picture that may not be completely accurate to sell the product?
As in, I'm not telling the truth?
As in, you're saying, you know, when you put these shoes on and you go to that party, you're going to feel absolutely amazing.
I certainly say that. I tell them that if they like to, you know, be kind of the topic of conversation, or they want someone's eyes to go to your shoes, these are the ones you use when you walk into the ballroom.
Which, I mean, is that true? I had a lot of women tell me that one of the first things they look at are shoes, but that's typically sneakers. Like, are they looking at dress shoes the way they would look at a blazer? Because a blazer pops.
Now that we are older, absolutely. It just changes. Yeah. I mean, when you're 29, 30 or whatever, you're in the field. People look at my shoes all the time. That's why I need to make sure I'm wearing Ferragamo shoes when I'm selling Ferragamo.
Well, that just does not sound smart if you're not.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the same everywhere. They literally walk in and look at your shoes. It's shoes and then your face. It's the two things they look at.
I mean, would your boss even allow you to wear a pair of Gucci's?
I mean, I wouldn't wear a pair of Gucci's. That's just silly. I have to say though, there was someone once working for us who did come in with a pair of Gucci's, and I had to be like, you know, it's 10 o'clock, right? The door's open.
Wait, yeah. Is an employee?
Yeah.
Oh man, I just from the way it sounded, it sounds like they're not with you no more.
No. They're with us. A very good employee. I won't name drop.
Oh man, I tell you, that's a funny story. That's a funny story right there. Did he try and sell you anyway on continuing to wear the Gucci?
He knew he probably would have been fired.
Oh man, my man Frank G, he's got a tight leash over there. Damn.
I mean, let's just be real. You're not trying to wear Gucci's in a store that doesn't sell Gucci's.
It doesn't sell nothing but Ferragamo.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. There was no selling me there. It just
That makes sense. See, my role, you know, because you sell face-to-face, retail. I literally just use a phone, chill, email, make sales that way. And it's completely unique. And I think my job, at least my leadership, shout out to my bosses, I think they understand that I love selling so much. So that alone is rare.
Yeah, they see you as an asset. I mean, one other thing as well, when you're building this talent of selling and you know your value, you know, you're going to perform better because you're not really worried about quota. Like, yes, you're worried about quota, but you know that if you missed it, you got like a mind like a defensive back in the NFL. I just got scored on, but I'm giving my best for the next month.
Which goes to the confident factor, right? If you're confident, I mean, you're going to be good at sales. I don't really look at quota. I look at quota from a money standpoint and how I'm doing. But there's so many variables that make quota subjective that it doesn't define who I am and my skill set. Which, you know, we went down a memory lane Monday. Months back, and I told you the story of me getting fired at Yelp.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
And as I'm getting fired, I looked at my VP and my manager, and I told them, I'm LeBron James. I'll take my talents elsewhere. My talents are now on deck. Rep it.
And you've just been living ever since. You moved up.
Facts. But I guess that goes into what you're saying. I mean, to have the leverage of the skill means I'm an asset and valuable everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why you just kind of, which is why you're never going to have this fear. I mean, sometimes fear motivates people, fear of like missing quota, yada, yada. But like, if you know what you're doing and you're confident, there's no fear. It's more just confidence on yourself.
I tell you, fear don't motivate me. It doesn't make me clutch. And we had that debate, pressure versus clutch.
Yeah.
Fear does not help me. If anything, I probably will give up quicker because I don't want pressure on me. So fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to think about it for sure. But I would say the majority of people probably don't think that way.
It's odd. Like if I'm in a sport. Well, that's not fear, I suppose. If I'm in a sport, I was going to say, and I feel like I need to be clutch, that pressure would be fine. But the pressure of a job would just kind of throw me off.
Maybe like, let's say Daniel Jones, New York Giants quarterback. You don't think he felt pressure to perform finally a good season so he could come back next year? Granted, they're keeping him. He was terrible.
I mean, he still has, I believe, the most turnovers out of 32 quarterbacks. So he still kind of is terrible.
Yeah, but he was terrible, but he had to have fear in him all season. Like, shit, well, I may not come back.
He probably still has that fear, but that, I bet you, so that same situation placed on dozens of quarterbacks, it's a 50-50 whether or not they succeed, no?
I don't know if it's 50-50 down the line, but I sure would assume you putting in double, triple the effort you did now, you're going to be better.
Yeah, I mean, there's also media coverage, New York, all that, coaches. There's so many variables that play to a factor. But if you're not doing good in sports and you're a pro athlete, I don't know. I think psychologically that pressure could crumble you more so than take it for advantage.
Oh, yeah, like they crumble in. Yeah, they crumble in the, I guess, with all the crowd. And
yeah, whatnot. As long as you secure the bag, though, it's you can crumble, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you get a $140 million contract and then the next year they signed Hurst. Shout out to Eagles fans. We'll know what's happening there.
Ain't no shout out to Eagles fans. Fuck you guys.
I do hate the Eagles, but I'm
just... Yeah, fucking guy, fuck you then, your unauthentic self.
Well, first of all, I just shitted on their quarterback situation and then shouted them out.
So you've been a little passive aggressive?
I guess.
That's my boy.
Certainly not healthy, though, to be passive aggressive.
I think it's way healthier and serves a way better message than being just aggressive.
This isn't really... We were going to do this topic as one of the podcasts, but so we really can't dive too deep into this, but I will say physically and psychologically, it is much more unhealthy. But we can get into that another time.
It's an interesting standpoint. Well, I could tell you right now, the day I knew I was going to be a good salesman was the day I started profiting while selling weed.
How long into selling weed did it take you to realize that you were a good salesman?
When I started, I guess, making some real good fucking money and developing methods and, you know, organization's
kinda, huge, yeah.
To yeah, well,
although you have things just flopping in your brain.
Yeah, I mean, I always have. That's how I always rock.
Yeah, I'll be writing stuff down. You just have this memory pad.
Well, my memory's starting to fade a little as I get a little older from all the fade ink.
Yeah, yeah, from all the weed, right?
And for the record, I don't sell weed anymore. We stopped that years ago when we became an adult at 27.
I love how you said we.
Well, I became an adult at 27.
It's all right. We've been on many journeys together.
Yeah, I tell you, though, I was selling weed way before I met you. Not way before, certainly before.
Yeah, I remember the influences now.
What is that supposed to be?
Nah, I just remember, you know, you being the jolly guy looking to have a good time. Chill out with his boys. Some deep discussion, maybe business, maybe not at the time, maybe we were too young.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Frank trying to sell you and me, I suppose, on just a jolly, jolly old time. I don't know. But I could tell you this. It took me quite a fucking long time to learn enough to make a good amount of money. I don't know if that comes to my skill set and value or just luck of landing where you land.
I mean, it's you creating that luck, obviously, by giving yourself the tools and knowledge already. So you're not going to just get there without effort. That's for sure. Every time you went to another job, it was totally different. I'm sure you increased your pay and learned new skills at each one.
I tell you, I commented on a Facebook post here. I'm getting a lot of hate. I didn't mean to be mean, I suppose, but people right now are not liking it. And I wish I could sell them on liking me, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah. It sounds like you made a mistake on your pitch there, whatever comment you did.
Jesus, I didn't mean to make nothing, but I am not getting love right now. That's for damn sure.
I bet you don't even got to ask what their drawbacks are. They probably already telling you.
I know. This one person said, man, that's harsh, even for Facebook standards. That makes me feel terrible. I didn't even think I was being that harsh. I just told the guy I didn't think he had a business. He's a cell phone repair shop. He had 3 customers this month. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a business. Sounds like a little side hustle where you make money for groceries.
I mean, which is could be a good thing, unless that's the sole.
It's not a bad thing, but people are offended because I'm in a business group. And I guess I told a guy he don't have a business and they all have aspirations of owning one.
And say again what his business is, that he only had 3 sales this month?
He's a cell phone repair shop.
Oh, that just sounds tough.
I had this one lady just go off on me saying, you know, how do I know the prices of the 3 customers? I'm like, well, damn it. I have a phone. Like, I have an idea how much it costs to repair it. It can't be more than $200.
Well, they have those guys in like the mall.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. People are hating on me right now and I can't sell them. They don't like me.
Well, because technically it's a business, I guess.
No business if you got 3 customers.
Well, it may not be a successful business. There's people in debt that we don't even know about. Some hidden debt.
Shit. I mean, I guess you're right about that. Business is a very broad term. I mean, if you have an LLC, technically you have a business, but you don't have a business. And you sure as shit don't have a business if you can't sell nothing.
Yeah, certainly. I guess they were just wanting to start something. But what makes you go into cell phone repairs? I feel like Apple, who has taken over the world as AppleCare, which does that probably cheaper. I don't know. Maybe it's not cheaper.
Nah, there's always a black market, just like when weed becomes legalized in New York here. You're going to pay $60 an eighth at a store, but you could probably get it at $30 on the street.
Yeah, that's why people are still going to continue selling.
I don't know which way I'm going to buy.
Certainly where there's a menu and you can pick options.
I do like the sound of that. We finally made it. Yeah. I finally made it. well, maybe we can say we here, the listeners and I.
That's all right, man. I'll join you. You can say we.
Oh, that's my boy. We made it.
We didn't make it yet in New York, though.
Oh, we're getting there. So let me ask you something. Mm. Do you have any brash opinions? That's so funny, kid.
Brash opinions.
You got any brash opinions or maybe a brash decision you had of recent? And let me give some context here for ladies and gentlemen listening. I called up Frank yesterday. I said, let's have a segment where we can talk about a brash opinion. Could be anything. It could be saying, you know, LeBron James is the greatest player of all time to anything, as long as it's brash. My man Frank over here didn't know what that word meant. Now, I hope I'm using it in the correct context and that I am correct and right here, because if not, I certainly sound like an asshole to at least 50 to 60 of you.
So then what does it mean?
Well, we went over a million times what it means.
The audience probably wants to know, though.
Well, now I feel like I should go to Google and get the exact proper definition of brash, because I don't want to make a brash statement of just nonsense. So brash, dictionary, adjective, self-assertive in a rude, noisy, overbearing way. For example, my Facebook post was very brash.
Yeah, that
apparently.
Well, I guess if it's not taken well by the majority, then it was brash.
It had to be a brash opinion. So that was my brash opinion, that if you're selling 3 cell phone repairs a month, you don't have a business. You have a side hobby. What's your brash opinion, guy?
Brash opinion. I feel like I'm a pretty like well-liked guy with good opinions. Trying to think.
Whoa, what? That's got to be the brashiest of brash decisions I've ever fucking heard.
I don't know if that's brash or if that's just either.
No, that's the opposite of humility. That's what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, arrogant, egotistical fuck.
First of all, you are taking this to a totally. You're just being brash right now. Certainly being brash.
It makes sense for this segment. All right, I'll be as brash as I want.
I'm being real and confident is a difference between confidence and brashness.
Arrogance?
Arrogance, yeah.
I don't know. It sounded like you were saying arrogant.
This, I was saying this in a very nice tone. I was being sincere.
You were saying it in a tone that you were trying to think of something and you were unsure of what you're thinking and saying.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
But a brash decision I've made recently.
Or a brash opinion. But apparently you already made it. You think you're just awesome and the best in the world.
And you don't?
No. There are plenty of people better than I.
In what aspects?
All aspects.
All right. All right. Good for you.
Yeah. I preach my four H's.
Yeah, what's that? Humility, honesty.
Help.
You can't even remember the fourth one.
I'll get to it. But they were four solid values. Well, it was honesty. It was humility. It was to help. Damn it, what's the H? The last H.
I don't know. But I also don't really have a brash opinion that I could think of.
I tell you, you already made your brash opinion like 10 minutes ago. The fact you're still thinking of one, appreciate it. Let's ask you, how's your goal come in on learning Spanish here?
It's much tougher than I thought.
What? Fucking everyone thought that would be tough. That was a very brash decision of you.
I mean.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's. I just figured, you know. At this
age, just come to you?
Yeah, I figured it may just come to me.
No.
But I got some worksheets. I know my numbers pretty well.
That's good.
Como está?
Cozy.
cozy.
What?
Is that Italian?
It is Italian. I figured I got a 50-50 shot. It may sound similar.
What does that mean? So-so?
And I said, so-so and you?
I see. That's see. So-so in Spanish.
See.
I tell you, though, it seems like I'll be able to cook and read books more than I'll be able to learn Spanish, but I'm still going.
Bro, that's a 2 to 4 year commitment, at least to do it fluently. And then if you don't continue it, you just forgot everything you remember.
That's like the biggest thing. If you put all this time in, you better be sure you're going to keep going.
That would piss me the fuck off. And I am not going to Mexico 4 times a year just for you to brush up on fucking a little Espanol.
Yeah, we go to Costa Rica. We go somewhere else.
It's South America. That's it. They don't. It's Spain? Spain? Or is that like a different dialect?
I mean, there's tons of dialect everywhere. That's why it'd probably be hard to do that on its own.
I don't know.
That's why listening to certain songs could be a problem. You're just going to learn like
the universal language.
Is that guitar or music?
That's they're one and the same, I suppose. But that would be the E chord of a guitar. That is in tune correctly.
Are you saying that chord is the universal language or is that music is the universal
language? That's my dog too. I'm saying music is the universal language. Yeah, you hear Shadow?
Of course I hear Shadow. So does the whole audience.
Shadow is trying to sell us on why he's the best doggy there is.
Well, he certainly is doing well right now.
He's not only annoying us, but he's annoying the audience.
Well, his cuteness makes up for it, I tell you.
Well, that doesn't happen. That doesn't help on the audio platform, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, even if you go to YouTube, you probably still can't see Shadow right now.
No. What minute are we on?
We are on minute 29.
So I say we get the hell out of here and we try and sell this episode on how we sold the shit out of things. But really, we just talked about sales and how it's important to have a value. And then we caught up on some goals and brash opinions.
Absolutely. And just remember to be memorable and enthusiastic, ladies and gentlemen.
And confident and arrogant like Frank G. Do you have any other brash sayings, statements, opinions?
Just flaunt your credibility. That's all I got to say.
Flaunt your credibility, ladies and gentlemen. That was a brash opinion by Frank G.
We'll see you next time.